It's so wonderful that we come together for the feast. I do enjoy so much all the different testimonies, especially concerning the food, concerning the eating and the drinking. And like our brother Thomas said, eating is still the way. You began to eat the day you were born. How old are you now? He's 23 now, it's Philip. Are you still eating? You're eating more than before. Look. How tall this young man is. And if you were to ask him, how did you grow so tall? Just like your mother said, it's by eating. Not just by learning at school. No, definitely not. Of course, we need to learn too. But the growth of life, growth in life comes from eating. We all have to appreciate and treasure the eating in the church. It's so important to eat of the tree of life. The enemy always wants to distract us from life, from eating, and turn to knowledge. You know, with the knowledge, it's only about knowing. But with life, it's a matter of eating. What would we rather have here in the church? So praise the Lord. And this eating always has to do with our spirit. When we don't have the spirit, then it's as if we don't have a stomach. So when you read the Bible, you only read with your mind and it's not good. It's not good enough. No. But we have to read it with our spirit, exercise our spirit to come to touch the Lord, to have a connection to the Lord. God is spirit, and he who worships him must worship him in spirit and in reality. The truth in the Bible is never just an objective, proper teaching. It's very easy to get a proper teaching. You just need a couple of books. We do have a book table out there. It's also good to have a book table, but those are only the menu. The truth in the Bible should not just be objective teachings and truths for us, but they have to be life and reality for us. That's why all this told the saints all the time. The word is not a philosophical word. You remember what Pontius Pilate said? Pilate says, what is the truth? Every German is a small philosopher. They argue, etc. And that's why they have their own concepts, and that's why there's so much fighting between the philosophers. There's different ways of thinking, and everyone has their own interpretation and their own understanding. Well, it's not Pilate, it's Plato said that. If the truth is not in the first place the reality or the substance, it's no good. Why do we have the term called water? Because there's a reality of the water. If there's no reality of water, there's no truth concerning the water. If for us water is just H2O, and then we analyze what H is and why, how come there's a little 2, and what does O stand for? H2O in chemistry or in science can never quench my thirst. But the water of life, that quenches my thirst. This is to your well-being, to your health. What would you like to have? So when we come to the Word, if you were only to study, then it just goes to your head. Then you learn, oh, what does the man say? And what does that theologian say? And what does Martin Luther say? What did the brethren say? And then you research here and there, and in the end, you're all confused. But you don't come to the reality. That's the difference between what the Lord spoke and what the Pharisees and the scribes said. The people noticed that although they almost spoke the same thing, but the people noticed that what the Lord spoke was different. Perhaps they could not explain it, but they could sense it. They noticed that what the Lord spoke had authority. There was substance to His word, and there was life. When the Lord said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." But the scribes, they were also very learned, and they had much knowledge concerning the Bible, concerning the law. But when they spoke, there was no reality, because they themselves never experienced it. And they had not done what they spoke. Did the Lord not say, do what they say, but don't do what they do? But with the Lord, it's just it's very different. The Word became flesh. That means that He is the embodiment of the Word itself. He Himself is a Word of God. And so when the Lord spoke any word, it wasn't just a term, a terminology, it wasn't just a philosophy or a teaching, but He Himself was the substance, the essence of the word that He spoke. So for Him, the truth was not just a term or just an explanation of a certain teaching in the Bible. But for Him, the truth was He Himself. He said, I am the truth. Caleb, can you and I say this? I am the truth? Can you say that?
That's a problem.
That is a problem.
That is the problem.
That is the problem.
We talk so much, but we don't have
the substance. But for the Lord, it's something different. Everything that the Lord spoke, He could say, I am it. When He spoke concerning the manna from above, He said, I am the bread. Right? We can only talk about the Passover lamb. But John said, behold, the Lamb of God. He could say, he who thirsts can come to me and drink. Can you say that? Can you say that? You can only explain concerning the water of life. Yeah, I know the Lord is a spirit. And you know, after the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15:45b, in resurrection, the last Adam became the life-giving spirit. We were so excited. But we don't give people this water of life to drink. That is the problem. So young people from Singapore, when you come to the Word, what do you do with the Word? Do you go to the internet to check out, oh, what does this mean and what does that mean? Oh, I have to philosophize it. I have to think about it. I have to know this and that. Then you're only using your mind and you're in this realm. But if you only read the menu, how do you read the menu? Do you read it with your stomach? You read the menu with your stomach. No. You eat for your stomach. But when you read the menu, how do you read it? You're reading with your head. But when you eat, where does the food go? Does it go up to your head? It won't be good if the food, all the potatoes would go up into your head. That is not good. The food needs to go down into the stomach and not stay up there. But if you read the menu, it never goes down. It only remains in your head. So how do we eat in the church? What have we learned in the church to eat? We have a spirit of faith. We worship God because God is spirit. So we use our spirit because the spirit can have fellowship with the spirit. No matter how clever you are in your mind, you cannot eat potatoes with your mind or with your head or the ice spine. That's a specialty. You cannot eat food with your head, no matter how clever you are. But praise the Lord. The Bible shows us. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 4, he said, what the Jews heard of the word, it did not help them. They heard it, they understood it. All the Jews are so clever, right? They understood the word, but they did not enter into the rest. Why? Because they did not mingle this word with faith. Now, where is the faith? Here, up in your head? Okay, I believe. No. Paul said, we all have the same spirit of faith. The faith is precious because it comes from God. And through the Holy Spirit, it was given into your spirit. So when I read the Bible, what is to be spirit and life if I use my spirit? The Spirit and the Holy Spirit would come together. And the Word of God enters into my spirit. Otherwise, a potato would go to your head. That's not good. You know, brothers and sisters, every time I come to the Word, I tell the Lord, Lord, I want to gain you in the Word. I want to see you, and I don't want to see some strange things. I'm not curious. But I want to touch you, and I want to gain you, and I want to take you in, and I want to eat you and taste you, taste of you. And if we have such a hunger for Him, then when you come to the Word, you pray to Him. And this Word will become living to you and speak to you, and then you speak, you answer back to Him. There is a fellowship. There is a two-way flow. It's a coming and a going. And the Word will become light. And when the light shines, you react and you pray. And say, Lord, I repent, because in the light you see your condition. And when you're exposed by the light, you come to Him and say, Lord, I want to have that. That is the real prayer reading. Not in the beginning was a word, amen, 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 in the beginning, 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 amen, amen.
Meaningless, brother.
Meaningless, brothers. That is not prayer reading. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure that it's not prayer reading. You think a prayer reading is just amen, 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 that's praying?
No.
No, no, no. We have learned it, and we have to learn much more how we can eat the solid food in the Word of God. There can be milk for the new. There's milk for the new beginners, for the newborn, but there's also solid food for those who have been with the Lord a longer time. Paul said, "I gave you milk to drink and not solid food, because you cannot bear it. You're still fleshly." So you see, if we're fleshly and we live in a fleshly way, then you cannot take any solid food. And then Paul said that you are a babe in Christ, a small child in Christ. Yes, you're born again, but you're a baby. Can you give a baby a piece of steak or a hamburger or a pork knuckle, an ice spine? Can you imagine that a newborn babe would get a pork knuckle to eat, so the baby would become a knuckle? That doesn't work. But if we still live in the flesh and we fight with one another in the church, and we want to eat the Lord, you would only get milk to drink. Then you'd just be drinking milk. One cannot give you something else to eat. Even the apostles said that the Word of God, the Word that they shared, it's food. Paul was a good cook. Peter and John as well. They all learned to cook and to feed the others. It's very important in the church. Learn to eat and learn to have a good taste. You know, certain tastes, you can only gain certain tastes through learning. There's certain foods, yeah, they taste good, but it's very common. But there are certain tastes that have to be learned. For instance, like cheese. Oh, if the Chinese come and smell the cheese, and they'll say, oof. But for the Swiss, the stinkier the cheese, the better it tastes. That's how it is. There is a fruit in the Far East, it's called durian.
And
outwardly, you see this, it looks like there are so many prickly things on the outside. Just looking at it, you wouldn't even want to touch it. But for those who never learned to eat durian, oh, for them, this fruit really stinks because it has such a smell. But for those people who love to eat durian, it smells so good. Really so. You have to experience it. You have to experience it. Or you have to learn. But you know, they call this durian the king of fruits. But for a person who does not know this taste, it's the very last thing that you want to touch. That's how it is. So certain tastes have to be learned. And the more you eat durian, the more fragrant it is. It's fragrant. It's aromatic. But for one who doesn't know it, oh, it stinks. That's how it is. Certain people come to the church and they think, oh, it stinks here. And they ran away so quickly. That's too bad. But for us, it is so fragrant, so smells so good here in the church. Learn to have this taste. Learn. The more you grow, the more you will realize how good the Lord tastes. This taste has to be developed. The people of the world think you're crazy. And, but it's in the same principle. For us, the Lord is wonderful. Nothing is more wonderful than a wonderful king.
So
in these dining halls out in the outer court, we already eat a wonderful food that the people do not know. Did not the Lord say in chapter 4 when the disciples bought the food and brought the food to the Lord? And meanwhile, the Lord said, oh, I have food to eat. I already ate. And the disciples said, where did you get the food? What food did you eat? And the Lord said, I have a food that you know not of. My food, he said, is to do the will of the Father. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me. What a wonderful food. It's a special food that many people never knew about. The disciples were surprised. What's that? Where did he get such a food? What kind of a food? Right? When you look at this diagram, you say, oh, what is this? We eat such a wonderful food here. We don't eat the numbers here, but that's a secret language here. So, brothers and sisters, learn. Learn to grow and learn to eat in the church. Perhaps in the beginning you're not used to it. It's a bit difficult. But with time you will see that this food tastes good and it works. And it's rich and it makes you healthy. That's how it is. May the Lord show us something. Since we're already talking about eating, and this diagram is still here before us of the temple compound, let us take a look at the difference between these dining halls and the outer court, and these two holy dining halls in the inner court. What's the difference? In the outer court, it's all only called dining halls, and there's not much description about it. There's no description. Even the size is not mentioned. But over here, it's very different. Over here, there are two buildings. And it is, there's a boundary separated. No one is allowed to enter except for the sons of Zadok. Only those who are invited can eat in there. And the construction of these halls, there are three stories, three floors. It's already, here's a difference. Three floors. And here, we don't know. Here, in the outer court, the dining halls is just one level. You go in and you find a space to eat. But this here, the holy dining halls, is a three-story building. And the first story, the first floor, is quite big. I'll draw it here. I would exaggerate it a little bit so that you get the point. And the second story is smaller. It's sitting on the first story. And no pillars are allowed. That's why it's sitting here. It's like a gallery. And the third story is even smaller or narrower. That's how this building looks like. And the same with the other side. So on the south side of the building, it's only half the size as compared to the building on the other side of the dining halls. Toby, when you come to eat, where are you going to go? Clemens, where would you go? Really? Would you go all the way to the top, where it's so narrow? You have a good view. It's a matter of a good view. It's a matter of the food. My goodness. What should we say? It's a matter of the food and not, has nothing to do with the view. And here it's not written that there are windows there. Only doors. So all the doors go towards the south, and the doors over on the outside goes towards the north. So if there's no windows and only doors, which floor or which door would you want to go to? Of course, the first story, it's much room and the air is good. Then can you eat your food in peace, right? It's good. It's not so narrow. That's your natural concept. That's your natural concept. Naturally, the higher you go, the better it is. But there's a spiritual meaning to it. Down below, you have much room and much liberty. And on the second level, you're more limited in the gallery. And this dining hall here is much narrower. That means in these three levels, there's still three areas, there's still a difference. The narrow space shows that there's more limitation. So even in these holy dining halls, there is a difference. The difference is not just between the dining halls in the outer court or in the inner court. But even just in the holy dining halls, there's a difference of the food. If here is a holy place, then it would be even more holy and more narrow in the second floor. And then on the third floor, that's the holiest. We have the three comparisons. This is big, bigger, biggest.
So is this up here, sehen wir.
The same here.
Wenn du in diesem Stockwerk unten bist,
if you're here on the bottom floor,
alles,
so you like to eat everything. You're so free to eat.
Du hast die Freiheit,
you have the liberty.
Du kannst so vieles essen, was du willst.
You can eat as much as you want.
Wenn du aber mehr gewachsen bist, dein Geschmack ändert sich.
When you've When, as you eat, your taste changes as you grow. That means your taste will change. You're eating, and your taste is more limited. You cannot just eat everything. And when you come all the way up to the third story, what you eat here is even more limited. 40 years ago, I had such an appetite. As a young man, I had a big appetite. Young people, they eat everything. When I saw the young people in Germany eat butter, I said, my goodness, you are not eating bread with butter, but you are eating butter with bread. The butter is so thick, and the piece of bread, the slice of bread, is only this thick. Butter with bread. Then I told the young people, don't you want to live long? Are you tired of living? Hopefully, they've changed their lifestyle. And now they eat bread with butter. So here, on the first story, we eat a lot of things. There's very little limitation. You know, 40 years ago when I had such a heart for the Lord, oh, I had an appetite for so many things and books after books. My goodness. I have a wall full of books. Books. I want to take this in and I want to know that. I want to know so much. I wanted to know so much. But as I grew in a spiritual life, as well as with age, I don't eat as much. Then I can discern better. This is not good. Oh, this is no good. And we also learn to filter out many things. You wouldn't take many more things. No, no, no. That's not good for you. And you learn to put aside many things. Today, when you come to the third floor, do you know what you're going to eat? You only want to gain Christ. There are many things there that are good, but not edifying. So when you come to this floor, the third floor, for many things you don't have the taste for them anymore. People would say, oh, this is good and it's wonderful. Okay, it's also wonderful, but you would say, oh, it's no longer nothing for me now. You know, like at our age, do we want to eat so many pork knuckles, eisbein? Or do you want to eat fat daily? You know, the fat, like from bacon, the white part of the bacon, would you still like to eat it? No, what tastes best is the white part. You know, the bacon, the fat. George, why not? Why did you eat that when you were younger? Because younger, when you were younger, it's just because it's a matter of taste. It tastes good. But now it's a matter of health. You want to have eternal life. Now it's a matter of life. Now it's a matter of the health. I want to reach there. I want to get into the inner court. You know what? You know what the people appreciate and treasure so much? I don't care for that because it doesn't help me anyway. You know, we have to learn of Paul here, like in the book of Ephesians and Philippians. But I want to know him. Earlier on, when I was at your age, I want to know everything. I want to know everything. And when you come to me 40 years ago, you would hear a lot. But today, I don't have much to tell. Except for this wonderful Christ. Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and to have the fellowship of his suffering, to know the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death. Would you like that? Really so? We also talk so much about the death of the Lord. We also treasure what the Lord has done on the cross. But when you come to this upper floor, you will tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be conformed to your death. You would experience such a Christ. And in the end, Paul said, I don't want to know so much knowledge amongst you. He said to the Corinthians, but to know Christ and him as the crucified. I want to know him. In the church, there are so many problems. How are you going to solve the problems? Here are two people fighting, and they come to you. What would you do? First, you would listen. Okay, tell me your side of the story. I come to Caleb. Caleb tells me his side of the story. And the more I listen to him, the more I'm confused. Because when he tells his side, it sounds like he's in the right. And then when I listen to Caleb, the more I listen to Caleb, oh, he's right. And I come back to the other brother and say, oh, he's also right. My goodness. And both sides are right. So who is right? And this brother says, oh, Caleb is right, but Thomas would say, no, the other brother is right. In the end, you know, between Thomas and Günther, they would fight. And in the end, their problems become your problems. My goodness, and then I come, what's happening? And the brothers, Thomas would tell me his side of the story. And then Günther would tell me what the problem was. It's a never-ending story. That's how it is. And this never-ending story will go around the world. The internet and Facebook, my goodness. Isn't such the case? Or am I exaggerating? What do you think? That's how it is. But you know, if we have learned, and you're a person who has tasted Christ, and you have eaten Christ, and you have His life, and you come to the problem here, what would you say? You would say, brother, what's your problem?
What is your problem?
What's your problem?
Und was ist dann die Lösung für ihn?
And what's the solution for him? You need Christ, don't you?
Brauchst du nicht Christus?
Don't you need Christ?
Amen.
Amen.
So is there any problem now?
So is there any problem now?
No problem.
No problem.
It's that simple.
Don't we all want to gain Christ and grasp Christ in the church? And to die with Christ? Have you not died with Christ? Were you crucified with Christ? Have you died with Christ? So what kind of a problem do you still have? No more, you see. It's so simple. In 5 seconds, the problem is solved.
How about you, Caleb?
How about you, Caleb? Yes? You see, if both have been crucified with Christ, do you still have a problem there? Then we have a wonderful testimony in Facebook. I have been crucified with Christ. I've died with Christ. Hallelujah. We have a wonderful testimony
that
in the church, they've all died with Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Or, if not, there's no other solution, because here in the house of the Lord, there's only one solution. We eat Christ. Otherwise, everything else is nonsense. Paul said, I have died with him, and then he would fight and argue every day. I would say, oh, please, Paul, when did you die? When have you died with Christ, or did you resurrect again? So, in the house, in this realm, even in these holy dining halls, we are still learning. There's a first story, and there's a second story, and there's a third story. Where would you rather be? It's not your choice now. But you have to grow up into it. It's not written here. There's no stairs. Of course there are stairs. But there's no description of it. But we learn. And we tell the Lord, Lord, we want to go on with you. Lord, I want to go higher. Lord, I want to ascend here. Das, was Paulus gesagt hat. And that's also what Paul said.
So, je mehr du wächst,
so the more you grow,
du kommst automatisch zu diesem
automatically you come on to the second story.
So, heute,
so today, brothers and sisters, when we eat the Lord,
ich kann nicht die Speise, die ich esse, an dich zwingen, das geht.
I cannot force the food that I eat onto you. That's not possible. I have a granddaughter who used to be like this. If she doesn't want to eat it, if she didn't want to eat it, she'd just close her mouth tight. Then my daughter would tell her, if you don't eat, go to bed immediately. She would get off the chair and she'd walk in and she'd go into her bed. She'd rather stay there and not eat. And no one could force her. But today, now that she's grown a little bit, she begins to eat more. What she did not eat a year or the 2 years ago, he says, so over my dead body, so to speak. She says, I'm not going to eat that. No. Period. No one could do anything. But so often it is the case in the church life when one is not ready to take in this food. Please do not force it down their throat. Do not force them. Not everyone in the house of the Lord has the same growth. And we cannot expect that either. But much more, we pray and wait and we let them grow instead of forcing them. And gradually, with time, they grow into it. Praise the Lord. But if we would want to change them with force, the more we do that, the more unrest would be caused. And in the end, everybody at the table would lose their appetite. Instead of bon appetit, everybody has no appetite anymore. But praise the Lord. Here in the house of the Lord, also in this area, in the house here, we have such liberty in a certain sense. If you're not so far yet, please, we have a dining hall for you. It doesn't mean that you're not faithful. No, you are also a son of Zadok. You also come into here, the holy dining halls. The others, where did they go? They go into the second story. And up on the third story, there's also a room. Where do you think there are more eaters? The more priests that eat. Of course, on the first story, because the room is bigger. Because the Lord knows that most of the people cannot bear the food on the second story. That's why most of them stay on the first story. And that's the reason the room is bigger. But praise the Lord, with time, the first room on the first story would be full. And then on the second story, the room is a little more limited. But brothers and sisters, we all eat the same food. But to a different degree. So the eating is still a little bit different. Then on this other side of the holy dining halls, there is even a narrowing further. You see, there are different levels. And I hope that through this picture we all have learned that we all grow into it. Like Paul said, until we all grow into a full-grown man. Praise the Lord. So today, 40 years ago, I'd say, come, brother, eat, eat. Eat more of Jesus. Come, 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 come. Just eat, 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 eat. Today, I don't do that anymore. I'm like an old man here with a cane. So the Lord has to show us something here, brothers and sisters. In the church life, learn not to force people, but to nourish them. And the more you are grown, the more you grow up, the more you are aware of what kind of a food or nourishment you have to give to this brothers and sisters. We also have to learn this in the church life. Praise the Lord. That's why the different home meetings are so good. We're very flexible. When new brothers and sisters come into the church, then right immediately in the meeting, we can give them a different kind of food, especially in the home meetings. Praise the Lord. Since we're talking about food here, and there were many testimonies about that, then I think instead of talking about it later, we can just take care of this point. Amen. And not wait till later. Now, after we've seen all this, we come to this portion here of the inner court. This portion, the inner court, not everyone is allowed to enter in. No, not everyone is allowed to enter. It's good to read it. To read a couple of verses. We read, we come to chapter 40, verses 46. We come to the point concerning the sons of Zadok. Just like what the sister gave, the sister gave a testimony, and she was really happy that she saw that the sons of Zadok. Oh, she got it, and it's very important. The sons of Zadok. Chapter 40, verse 46 in the printout. Let's read that. The chamber which faces north is for the priests who have charge of the altar. These are the sons of Zadok, from the sons of Levi, who come near the Lord to minister to him. Amen. And also verse 45, and then he said to me, this chamber which faces south is for the priests who have charge of the house. So in the inner court here, there are two chambers, one here and one there. One at the north gate and one at the south gate. And we wrote that in the footnote, number two, these are chambers for the serving priests. These are the chambers for the serving priests. And in this area, in the inner court, there are many services. Whoever does not serve and whoever is not allowed to draw near to the Lord, they are not allowed to enter into this area. It's forbidden. The Levites who are not faithful, they just remain in the outer court. And they were not allowed to draw near to the Lord. Now let's read other verses. Chapter 43. Let's read chapter 43 in Ezekiel. It's not in the printout. Verse
19.
And that means at the altar, only the sons of Zadok are allowed to serve. You shall give a young bull for a sin offering to the priests, the Levites, who are the seed of Zadok, who approach me to minister to me, says the Lord God. That means that the sons of Zadok are a very special people, because the Lord mentioned them several times. We have to see this here. This is very important. The sons of Zadok, where the Lord said in both the verses that we read,
the priests, die von der Nachkommenschaft Zadok sind,
who are the seed of Zadok, the priests, the Levites, who are the seed of Zadok, who approach me to minister to me. Let's read on to chapter 44, verse 15 in chapter 44. Actually, we should be reading the whole chapter, but let's first read this verse. Before we read this, we have to fellowship concerning this point in this half an hour, beginning with verse 10.
Yeah. Die Leviten,
and the Levites,
die sich von mir entfernt
who went far from me,
als Israel in die
when Israel went astray, who strayed away from me after their idols, they shall bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them. So it's just in this area, in the outer court, when they minister. Of course, they also have to stand guard at the gate. Because they ministered to them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore, I have raised my hand in an oath against them, says the Lord God. They shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near me to minister to me as priest, nor come near any of my holy things, nor into the most holy place. The most holy place. They should not come near the holy things and the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Nevertheless, I will make them keep charge of the temple for all its work and for all that has to be done in it. It's only in the outer area, in the outer court. Then the Lord said in verse 15, but, praise the Lord, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, you see, they're all Levites. But yet, there's still a difference. Who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat, that's the best part, and the blood, says the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. They are not ministering to the people here in the outer court, but here in the inner court, they're ministering to the Lord. What would you rather be doing? And it shall be, whenever they enter the gates of the inner court, that they shall put on linen garments, etc. Holy garments. They had to put on holy garments. Here in the outer court, in this area, you could put on any proper clothing. But to enter into the inner court, you cannot just put on any clothing, but you have to put on the priestly garment. That's a big difference. And this morning, I'd just like to emphasize this point to you. Which Levite would you rather be, the faithful or the unfaithful? Are you faithful to the people or are you faithful to the living God? Do you follow the majority that went after the idols and you minister to them? You do what they like. You did what they did. All the people wanted to do to worship the idols, and then the Levites said, what should we do? And they just went along with them, just like on the Mount Sinai when Moses was up there and the people told Aaron, I don't know whether he's coming back, so make a god for us. They wanted to have another god. And what did Aaron do? He agreed. My goodness. The Levites, at that time, Aaron went along with them. What would you do if you were there? What would you have done, Matthias, if you were there? Do you think Aaron said to Moses, I can't do otherwise. They're going to stone me. Would you rather be stoned? Or would you rather build a golden calf? What would you do? Hard to decide, right? It's hard to decide. If you're faithful to God, would you rather say, okay, then stone me. I'm not going to go along with you. But if you're unfaithful to the living God, or you were unfaithful to the living God at that time, you say, okay, you bring me all these things and I'll help you. And to commit idolatry. And that was how it was when all the people of Israel were disobedient and stiff-necked, and they were fleshly, and they wanted to run after the idols. And this Levite said, "What can we do? So let's help these people to do what they want to do. So what do they want?" They wanted to do this, and let's just go along. Do you think there are no idols today? That there are no more idols? How do the idols look like? With a bald head and with a fat tummy, and it just sit there? Is that an idol? Of course, that also, for some, that's an idol. They go worship them. They kneel before them and they pray to this bald-headed guy. It's strange, right? In India, there are holy cows. Once I was there and I told the taxi driver, you know, that's the holy cow. We like to eat them in the U.S.
Then there are also holy affen.
And there are also holy monkeys. When I was in Taiwan, someone brought me to a place and he showed me where they worship the dogs. My goodness, dog worshippers. How dark is it? And they do that beginning at midnight, at 12 midnight. Would you like to worship a dog? Please, many years ago, thousands of years ago, what did the Europeans worship? The sun. God forbid that in a very strict way. And how do the modern idols look like? It begins with E. Guess what that is. E. E. A, B, C, D, E. It's a euro. Exactly. That's a big idol. Many are looking towards this. You know, Paul said covetousness is a great sin. So there are many modern idols. If you are covetous for a position in the church, isn't that covetousness? You want to be someone in the house of the Lord. We are nothing here in the house of the Lord. Oh, since I've already talked about this, perhaps I should wait until this afternoon or this evening. Today there are many idols. Many idols. Be careful. So in those days the Levites were unfaithful. They did everything what the people wanted. We should not just say, oh, that's the fault of this one or that one. No, the people wanted to have it. That's the law in marketing. Right? It's in marketing. If there's no demand, then there will be no product, no supply. Right? Exactly. Supply. No demand, no supply. It would not arouse any supply. This demand will not be covered. If there is no demand, there's nobody is asking for it. Nobody wants to have the living Lord. Do you think there will be so many different groups? Why is there a gospel of prosperity? The gospel of prosperity. Why is it so popular? Because everybody wants to prosper. Who does not want to be rich? You give the Lord 1,000 euros, and the Lord will give you in return 10,000 euros. Isn't that good? Much blessings. Why do people like to hear this so much? And there's such preachers. Yes. And so superstitious. What does the Holy Spirit do? Does he give a holy laugh? A holy roll? A holy falling over? It's all holy. I only know of one falling over. It's Ananias and Sapphira. And I'm happy that it did not happen every day. You've got holy this and holy laugh and holy rolling, holy rollers and holy this and holy that, except your walk is not holy. I don't understand. Why? Would you like to fall over? Do you think that the Holy Spirit would do something like that? The people like that. There's a demand. They feel well. You know, oh, after they get up, they say, oh, hallelujah, I fell over. They feel so lucky. Are you happy when you fall over? I'd like to see if you fall over backwards and nobody's standing behind you to catch you. That's even better. It's more convincing, isn't it so? I don't believe many will fall over backwards if there's nobody in the back to catch them, right?
If somebody was there
behind you,
To catch you. Okay, why not? But if nobody stands behind you, I tell you,
oh no, the angel is standing behind you. The angel is going to catch you.
Yeah,
you don't see him, but the angel is behind you.
The angel is behind you, Andy.
You know the story. Then the people won't do it anymore.
So is this.
That's how it is. But why do the people want that? Because there's so much demand for that. And you do a little hocus pocus, and then it works. Would you go along with that? If you go along with it, then you would be like the Levites in those days. You become an unfaithful one. And today, how many people are truly faithful to the Lord? There were so many Levites, but only the sons of Zadok. Praise the Lord for the sons of Zadok. They were faithful. And in the New Testament, we read that the Lord was a faithful witness. He was faithful in all things. Let's read a verse in Hebrews, chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brethren, praise the Lord. Not just holy brethren. It's very good. It's partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. Praise the Lord. Verse 5. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. Verse 6, but Christ, a son over his own house, whose house we are. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord was faithful. And his name is the faithful witness. He's a faithful witness. And Paul said of a servant, nothing is expected of him except that he be faithful. The Lord also said in Matthew 24, some already read it, who is the faithful and prudent one? The Lord is looking for faithful people. There are so many people today, so many believers, but how many faithful ones can you find? And we must see in this picture here of the temple compound, this area here, the inner court, is for the faithful ones. Don't think that the Lord doesn't make a difference. The Lord makes a difference. And we can only be faithful, not to people, but to be faithful to the living God. To be faithful to Him who called us. You know, in the past, I have seen how people, many brothers and sisters were faithful, but they were faithful to man. So when this man became unfaithful and did nonsense, and you are faithful to him and you still follow him, then that's not good. So in the end, although they knew that it was wrong, and still they followed him, they were not faithful to the living God, but they were faithful to man instead.
Yes.
We all have to learn to remain faithful to this living God. That's why they are martyrs. You know why the martyrs allowed themselves to be slaughtered? Because they were the faithful witnesses. They saw that the Lord is the living one. You want me to deny him? No, I'm sorry, I can't do that. So, off with their heads. But I have seen so many in the last years, even among the churches, then, although it was so clear that it was going the wrong way,
weit entfernt vom Herrn,
was already far from the Lord, but still they still followed. So, okay, so what can I do? And if you don't follow, zack, and your head is gone. What would you rather do? Lose your head or keep your head and follow them? What would you prefer? To be faithful or to lose your head? Do you want to lose your head? I'm sorry, I'm speaking in tongues here. Right? So it's not a small thing today to remain faithful to the Lord. It doesn't matter to me who stands before me. What is important to us here in the church is that we follow the Lord. No matter how the people are against us, it doesn't matter. What do you expect? That everyone would agree with us? When the Lord was on this earth, did everyone agree with him? Most of them agreed with him? Or how? No? Only a few. How few? How many? How little? How many? Just how few? It's just 120. That's not much at all. It's almost nothing. And we are like this. Oh, we have to have a good testimony. Oh, we have to do compromise. Oh, we have to get along with people. Oh, I have to do this. Oh, the newspaper has to write something good about us so that the people would come. Oh, yes. We have to be diplomatic in our dealings. Claimants learn to be diplomatic. Oh, get along with Babylon.
Oh.
Who is your master? Who is the master? The Lord. How did he behave himself?
Nicht diplomatisch.
Not diplomatic at all.
Wem war er treu?
Who was he faithful to?
Dem Vater.
The Father.
Sie wollen ihn umbringen.
They wanted to kill him. Did he explain? He said, please, please, don't do it. Oh, let's make a compromise. I'll leave you in peace and you leave me in peace. Isn't that good? Oh, let me explain. Once more, I really came from the Father. You know, if you don't believe, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But let's be friends. I'll invite you to supper or to a Chinese restaurant.
Okay?
Okay? If not, behead you. I'll execute you. What would you rather do, have? Then you have to learn of the Lord. You have to go to the cross. That is the faithfulness. Our Lord is faithful. Today, it doesn't matter to me what people say. But it's not of no that I do care what the Lord says. In Ezekiel, the Lord said, these people should not come near to me. This is important for us. It doesn't matter what people say, but we have to such people who remain faithful to the Lord. And then the Lord would also show you much. You know, if you're unfaithful, the Lord would not entrust you with the precious things because you're not trustworthy. You're not faithful. Would you like the Lord to entrust you with the most precious things? Then you have to be a faithful servant. So when we come to this area this evening in the inner court, then we will have fellowship about it, and you would see that only those who are faithful are allowed to enter in. And in the New Testament, the Lord said, he who overcomes, to him will I give this and this and that. And he will sit with me on the throne. It doesn't mean that all the believers will be seated with him on the throne.
Or
he did not say, he who believes would sit with me on my throne. No, he who overcomes, he who overcomes, I'll give him to eat of the tree of life. That means not everyone will get to eat. Even in this coming time, not everyone will get to eat. And he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the house of my God. Now, if you're not an overcomer, then you'll only be a chair, and not a pillar. Do you want to be a chair, a squeaky chair, so loose, or would you want to be a pillar in the house that remains in eternity? What would you rather be? Read the Bible. First fruits in Revelation 14. Is everyone a first fruit? If everyone is a first fruit, then there's no Revelation 14, the first few verses. There's a difference, and we all need to see it today. Don't say we're all the same. No, we're not all the same. At least, in the Lord's eyes, we're not all the same. If you don't believe, then you wait till the Lord comes back. Then it'll be too late when the Lord comes back. The 10 virgins, are they all the same? They're all believers. But 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. There's a difference between a wise and a foolish one. They're not equal. What are we today? What are we today?
10 wurde geheilt von ihrem Aussatz.
10 were healed of their leprosy, but how many came back? The Lord said, they will be leprous once again because they did not come back. Perhaps you would say that.
Ich habe sie geheilt,
oh, I healed them.
Sind sie nicht zurückgekommen.
And they didn't come back. Okay, these 9
will
once again become leprous.
Moment und Sekunden.
In this moment, this second,
war der Herr so?
Was the Lord like that? No. The Lord was not like that.
Der Herr war nicht so.
The Lord was not like that.
Aber es gab einen Unterschied.
But there is a difference.
10
were healed. Only 1 came back.
Ja. Damals bei Gideon.
At the time of Gideon, it was the same.
Ja. Und unter dem Volk Gottes,
and among the people of God, there were supposed to be a nation of priests.
Eine königliche Priesterschaft und das
a royal priesthood, and the entire people should be priests unto God. That's God's purpose. But through idolatry and through the golden calf, you know the story in the end. Only the tribe of Levi was faithful. Moses had the staff with him and he drew a line. And he said, who is on God's side, come over to this side. And who came over? Out of the 12 tribes, only 1 tribe. It's the tribe of Levi. And they would then be called as a priestly tribe. And they were allowed to serve in the sanctuary of the Lord. Don't we learn from history? You think it's just written over there and absolutely nothing to do with us when the Lord comes back? Did the Lord not say when He comes back, He will give reward, each one according to his works in his life? So this morning, we all have to see this point clearly. If you had a choice, if you have a choice, then you would have to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be one of the sons of Zadok. Otherwise, we don't need to talk about it at all. If we're not sons of Zadok, then it's superfluous. We don't need to talk about that.
Amen.
May the Lord be with our spirit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.